It's been days since the day known as Palm Sunday has occurred. Talk in the streets in Jerusalem still lacerated as the rumor has spread that the long-awaited Messiah has arrived, that the freedom of Israel from the oppressor of Rome is imminent. The story is being told over and over and over to the few that did not witness it. To this day, few understand that Palm Sunday was a supernaturally choreographed event where each step was planned hundreds, if not thousands, of years earlier. There was nothing about that day that was a coincidence, and for many, there will be no excuse that they did not know what was happening. In Jerusalem, on the other side of the Mount of Olives, the streets are coming alive with anticipation. People are beginning to gather along the cobblestone roads. Their voices seem cautious due to the presence of the heavy thumb of Rome. Yet their anticipation, though suppressed, began to grow uncontrollable, as if one was awakening from years of amnesia. Palm branches swayed in the gentle breeze as the sun cast golden hues over the ancient city. Crowds were beginning to pile in Jerusalem for Passover week and the sacrifice for the sins of a nation. While the journey that Jesus began toward Jerusalem started in Jericho, it actually began thousands of years ago in Genesis. 500 years ago, God, through the angel Gabriel, reveals to Daniel the entire future of Israel, including the event that is unfolding this day. So precise was the revelation that the date of this day is announced to Daniel as 173,888 days from the approval of the building of the Second Temple, or April 6, 32 AD. During the course of Jesus' life and ministry, over 300 prophecies have been fulfilled. Today is no different, as a cosmic milestone is about to be passed, thus setting the stage for the closing act of all history. The mathematical accuracy by which these prophecies are being fulfilled is chilling, and for anyone in the right mind, it should be a call to action. Not long after sunrise Sunday morning, activity began to stir near Bethpage, to the east of Jerusalem. It's believed that Jesus had spent the night there with his disciples after his trek from Jericho that took him through the Judean wilderness, the same wilderness where 3 years earlier he spent 40 days fasting and being tempted by the ruler of this earth. Jesus, en route to Bethpage, instructs two of his disciples to go ahead to the village where they will find a young colt tied there, which has never been ridden. The Gospel of Luke details it this way. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" It continues, "Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" In the Old Testament, Zechariah, written 550 years earlier, foretells of this event. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Another prophetic box has just been checked. As the procession makes its way down the Mount of Olives, Jesus has full view of Jerusalem. In 2 days, he'll be on the Mount of Olives again, preaching his longest message yet to his disciples about the end of days. In 4 days, he will sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane a bit further down. In 6 weeks, he will ascend into heaven. It is this same Mount of Olives that he will return to end the 70th week, as described to Daniel 483 years earlier, when the supernatural clock started ticking. Crowds at the foot of the Mount of Olives eagerly await the arrival of the humble figure riding on a donkey. Among them now are the disciples, their faces beaming with hope and devotion, in part clueless about the entire event. The streets are lined with onlookers, their voices rising in praise and adoration. But amidst the jubilation, there's an undercurrent of tension. As if they couldn't help themselves, they begin to shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" These are the exact words written by the psalmist as much as 1,000 years earlier. These words, however, are not the chants of peace, but political words for freedom and liberation. The same crowds who shout for the arrival of their Messiah to free them from Roman occupation will be the same voices that will shout, crucify him, in just 4 days. The Gospel of Matthew makes it clear that this was not a private event, recording these words. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the whole city stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of Luke records that the religious leaders had been watching the event unfold with a mix of disdain and apprehension. They whisper among themselves, plotting to put an end to this perceived threat to their authority. They are also concerned about the heavy-handedness of the Romans, so they demand that Jesus quiet the crowds. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Many believe that Jesus' response regarding the rocks crying out was not literal. Yet today, scientists are studying strange sounds being heard around the world. Some call them earth sounds that mysteriously resonate from somewhere in the earth or atmosphere. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1 that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the Logos, who was before all things, is seeing the past, present, and the future in one moment. He sees all of Israel's beginnings, the construction of both temples, the plights of his people in Egypt, the desert, Babylon, their suffering, their rejection, their hardship, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, the Dysphoria, the Holocaust, the land desolate until 1948, wars and rumors of wars, the defilement of the third temple, and the time of Jacob's trouble. He weeps, because what was promised since the beginning of time is about to be fulfilled as their king enters in to break the curse. He will be rejected. Jesus, at what seems to be the climax of his entry from the east, enters through the Lamb's Gate, the gate used to bring in lambs selected to be sacrificed on Friday, for today is Lamb Selection Day. Though the crowds are still celebrating, in less than 120 hours, the Lamb of God will be dead. In the words that Daniel heard nearly 500 years ago, that the Messiah would be cut off, would have been fulfilled.